I think I'll make the announcements now and that we can get through those. Wednesday night, junior YPCL, noon to 2 p.m. And it says annual costume party at the Temple Lot. Parents stay, all ages welcome. Bring sack lunch. And then there is a prayer service Wednesday evening, of course, at 7 p.m. Upcoming events, the Temple Lot Rally, January 25th through the 26th. The title for it will be, What Does the Love of Christ Look Like in Our Daily Lives? And there is a flyer. I have a copy here. And there are some out there in the foyer on the desk. I think, Dan, they should take them if they want them.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. And pass the word that people might know, and invite your friends or those who would be interested. Let us continue our worship today by welcoming our brother Hill. Give your prayers and your attention and your smiles that we might hear the word of the Lord. Mark.
Thank you, Alvin. I have nothing new, which is a good thing, I suppose. It's a simple sermon. I prayed about it, and which everybody should. And it's what was given to me, so you're going to get it. Or you're going to get the sermon, not as in you're going to get it. I hope you get the sermon. If you don't, I haven't done my job. I would like to welcome everyone here once again in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's been a good day. I'd say it's been a good year, but it hasn't for me. It's been all right. I've had my ups and I've had a lot of downs this year for some reason. So I'm ready to put 2019 in the history books. I'm ready to put it away. It's coming to an end. And I don't know if next year will be any better or not. The Lord does, and we'll find out. I've started this, practicing this thing that's going around called an attitude of gratitude. Because as much as I'd like to be an uptight person, I know that I tend to dwell on the negative a lot, and I don't like it. So I'm changing it, I hope. Because I read somewhere where you practice that, it changes the way your brain gear is geared up. So I'm hoping that works. I know I'm not the only pessimist around. I noticed that several years ago. I was like, why do I tend to focus on the negative a lot? But anyway, that's the way I was built, I suppose, or whatever reasons, but that was me, and I'm going to be more upbeat this year, I guarantee it. I got to be, because my lowest time, my lowest night, the worst night I ever had was last year, believe it or not, due to some family problems and difficulties. There, I had one of the worst nights I've ever had. But also, I saw some hope there. Because the Lord answered my prayers that night in a way I didn't expect Him to, and I appreciate it. I thought I was going to lose a loved one. So there's no gossip to get started. I thought I was going to lose a loved one, somebody that's dear to me, because of suicide. And it was tough. And it didn't happen. So anyway, I'm ready to put it away. Things are, on those respect, I'll just go ahead and talk about it just a little bit. Because of that, things are getting a lot better for this individual. A whole lot better if they stay on track and keep focused on where they need to keep focused. So that's a good turn. But yeah, I don't know where that... My brain works. Next year is going to be a good vision year. It's going to be 2020. I'm sorry. That just popped in. I, I got this mind that is kind of a far side sense of humor at times, and I have to be careful on what comes out when those things pop into my head. But I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a good year. We have a lot of hope for new things, a new year. The newness of it. You know, we just came through a season where we celebrated the birth of Jesus Christ and the newness of a baby that came into the world that was going to be the King of the Jews. Not in the way they thought, but he's going to be the King of Kings, or he became the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And somebody that I feel like dwells in my heart. Sometimes I push it away a little bit, but that's the fleshliness of me. But man, it gives me a hope. When I sit and ponder the things that Christ did for me and for everybody, actually, it boggles my mind. I texted Sean, he's sitting in the back today because he doesn't want to get close to me. No. But it just boggles my mind that the King of the whole world, the Creator of everything, would come down to earth because of us. And when I really sit and ponder upon all of it and start thinking about it, it's miracles. I don't want to use it blows me away, but it kind of does because of the things that happen. I mean, think about the testimonies you have in your own life of what Christ has done for you. The testimonies that you've heard from others of what Christ has done in their life, in good times and in bad. I'm going to start in Ecclesiastes. Like I said, it's a pretty simple sermon here, but that's where I'm going to start because life's going to go on in the year 2020. There's going to be highs, there's going to be lows. People are going to pass away, people are going to be born. It's just life. But it's the way we handle the things that come at us that define us. We need to do it in a Christ-like manner, no matter what it is. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Because God has a plan for everything that happens. To everything there's a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. To everything, there's a season for it. And everybody's season in their life doesn't run all at the same time. Some of you may be in a time of joy or a time of laughing, and I might be in a low part. But seeing the smiles on your faces, because you're at a different place, a different season possibly than I am at that time, it lifts me up. There was a time for Christ to come into the world, and he was born of the Virgin Mary. And when the Jews found out about it, you know, here's our king. He's going to deliver us from the Roman Empire. And he's going to be the King of the Jews, which he was. Matthew, the second chapter. I start at verse 1. This was when the wise men were trying to find Jesus so they could see the newborn king. Chapter 2, verse 1, and then when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came a wise man from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judea, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And that's bothered Herod. A king was born for the Jews. What's that going to do to me? That's probably what he was thinking. Because they had a hope of this child, Jesus, to be their king. But they didn't really understand, I don't believe, what was transpiring and what was taking place. Go to Jacob, the third chapter in the Book of Mormon, at page 176, if yours follows like mine does. Jacob, the third chapter. I'm going to start at verse 9. A little bit longer reading here. Behold, great and marvelous are the works of the Lord. How unsearchable are the depths of the mysteries of him. And it is impossible that man should find out all his ways. His ways are higher than our ways. And sometimes the things I ask of God, I don't get answers for. Well, I do. I don't get an answer. That's in my answer. And it's probably for my best, because his ways are higher than mine, and I'm probably not going to understand it anyway. And no man knoweth his ways, save it be revealed unto him. Wherefore, brethren, despise not the revelations of God. For behold, by the power of his word, man came upon the face of the earth, which earth was created by the power of his word. Wherefore, if God, being able to speak, and the world was, and to speak, and man was created, well, then why not able to command the earth, or the workmanship of his hands upon the face of it, according to his will and pleasure? And his will and pleasure is a whole lot better than my will and pleasure. Because his will is for our betterment, each and every one of us. His will is that each and every one of us would make it to heaven, although not everybody will. It's got to sorrow him. You know, this is the only place it's going to happen. Lehi must have sorrowed for his children when he knew that they were going to go astray. And I got to thinking, when Sean texted me, pondering on things, that God must have felt bad when Satan went astray. I would think. He feels bad when any of us go astray. Wherefore, brethren, seek not the counsel of the Lord, but to take counsel from his hand. Do you remember sometimes maybe in a prayer you pray things and you're trying to counsel the Lord? This is what I want. This is what you need to do for me. Mm-hmm. But to take counsel from his hand, because he is the greatest counselor there ever was. And the things that he counseled you about are just and right, and they'll lead you in the proper way, whatever counseling it is that you seek from him. He counseled me on what I should do one time. concerning baptism because I was a hardhead. Why do I got to do that? All I'm doing is just going to, you know, get wet. Well, that wasn't what had happened. And I prayed about it because I was, I love you, Linda. I was going to baptism classes and I was wondering about things. And the simple of answers was, well, pray about it. And I did. For months. I asked, you know, I was asking, I wanted him to show me the way. And one night he did. I saw doors in the sky as I was driving home from one of our meetings. So I had to study a little bit and follow that track of thought. And in John 10, verse 9, Jesus says, I'm the door. All right, there's your answer. You need to get baptized. And it was wonderful. Have you ever seen the eyes of, in the face of somebody when they come up out of the water or they're up front here and we're getting ready to give them the hand of fellowship and you know that it's the greatest feeling they've ever had because you can see it. I asked one young lady once, as we went through the line, I said, feels good, doesn't it? And she said, oh yeah. That was great. And it does. Because there's a hope there and there's a cleansing that happens. It's hard to explain to people for me sometimes because I don't know if they'll understand what truly happens and how clean it feels when your sins are gone. And at that moment, you're the purest you've ever been, as far as I'm concerned, even after you've been born for the first time. And that's a feeling that I don't really have words for. It's just there. Can you remember it? Back to this. I hope I'm not getting off track too much. But seek counsel from the Lord. Don't try to tell him what he needs to do for you. You know, I want $1 million. Not really, because money is not happiness to me. You know, if I was financially independent, I don't know if I would like it. Because then what would I have to strive for? Wherefore, brethren, seek not the counsel of the Lord, but to take counsel from him. For behold, ye yourselves know that he counseleth in wisdom and in justice and in great mercy over all his works. Wherefore, beloved brethren, be reconciled unto him through the atonement of Christ, his only begotten Son, that ye may obtain a resurrection according to the power of the resurrection which is in Christ, and be presented as the first fruits of Christ unto God, having faith, and obtained a good hope of glory in him before he manifesteth himself in the flesh. And now, beloved, marvel not that I tell you these things, for why not speak of the atonement of Christ and attain to a perfect knowledge of him, as to attain to the knowledge of a resurrection and the world to come? Behold, my brethren, he that prophesieth, let him prophesy unto the understanding of men, for the Spirit speaketh the truth and lieth not. Wherefore it speaketh of things as they really are, and of things as they really will be. Wherefore these things are manifested unto us plainly for the salvation of our souls. But behold, we are not witnesses alone of these things, for God also spake them unto prophets of old. But behold, the Jews are a stiff-necked people, and they despised the words of plainness, and killed the prophets, and sought for things that they could not understand. Wherefore, because of their blindness, which blindness came by looking beyond the mark, they must needs fall. For God hath taken away his plainness from them and delivered unto them many things which they cannot understand because they desired it. And because they desired it, God hath done it, that they may stumble. In another place in the Book of Mormon, it says that God will give you the desires of your heart, whether they're to your destruction or for your betterment. But if you want it bad enough, he'll give it to you. And he did. And when I approach next year, I don't want to look beyond the mark. I don't want to look at something that I've got, maybe I've got a false hope built up in my own thinking of what it should be. The Jews had a thinking of what Christ was going to be to them, their king, but not in the way that things transpired, and they looked beyond the mark. They wanted this king that would be their king and would lead them out, and because they looked beyond the mark, they don't believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah that came. How could he be? He didn't do what we thought he should have done, what he should have done, because we were counseling God on the way it should be for us. And now I, Jacob, am led by the Spirit unto prophesying, for I perceive by the workings of the Spirit which is in me, that by the stumbling of the Jews they'll reject the stone upon which they might build and have safe foundation. But behold, according to the Scriptures, this stone shall become the great and the last and the only sure foundation upon which the Jews can build. And now, my beloved, how is it possible that these, after having rejected the sure foundation, can ever build upon it that it may become the head of their corner? They rejected who Christ really was. You know, so what do they have to build on? That's what he's saying here. Since they rejected the stone, which is Jesus Christ, what are they going to build on? You take a cornerstone out of a building and it'll crumble. I had an architecture class in high school towards the end of a class because we got everything caught up and the teacher didn't have anything else to do, I suppose. But I learned in architecture a lot of things. You know how arches are built and you have this keystone that keeps it in place from falling down. And you have a cornerstone of a building to keep it firm and strong and secure. And they build upon the cornerstone. You take that out, and after a while, the building's going to start leaning and it's going to crumble down to the earth. If you don't have a good foundation and a good cornerstone to build on, as it says in the Scriptures, you might as well build it on sand. So we build our foundation on Jesus Christ. And he's everything to the building up of the church. That's why we call ourselves the Church of Christ. There are several things in this reading that I've looked at. I've already talked about some of them. But it gives me hope. The atonement of Christ. Because of the fall of Adam, there had to be an atonement. So you have this pure lamb that was sacrificed, which was Jesus Christ, to make up the difference for mankind falling because of one. We have the hope of living in heaven forever because of Jesus Christ. You know, his birth was a miracle. You know, Mary was told that she was going to conceive by the power of the Holy Ghost. When she went and met with her cousin Elizabeth, who was carrying John, he leapt in her womb. This is weird to me. John knew in the womb who Jesus was in Mary's womb. And he leaped for joy in there. But that was a kick. You know, oh, I don't know what it feels like. Quit it. But the Jews had this hope, and they saw this hope, and they knew it was Jesus when he was born, that their hope was there. All right, but they crucified him and killed him, so he can't be the Messiah because he didn't do what we wanted him to do. What we thought he should do. I I think sometimes people get this thing in their mind that after they're baptized, everything's going to be great. That's their thoughts, because it's not. That's not bad, don't get me wrong. But Jesus was tempted shortly after he was baptized. So that's what happens to a lot of people when they're baptized. Satan comes and says, I want you back. Jesus says, no, you can't have him. He's mine. But the temptations are there. Why would we think that we would be any better off than Jesus after he got baptized? Because we have false expectations. I'm not saying that here at the church we do, but I know of people that have thought, man, I got baptized and boy, things are going worse than they were before. It's because you're not focused on the right things. And they have a false hope of what's going to happen. Yeah, it is great. Don't get me wrong. I'm loving it. But I also was taught correctly that I need to look out, and that's what I try to do whenever I counsel people for baptism. There's a certain point where they got to know that after you're baptized, you got to keep an eye out diligently. Pray that we're not tempted above that which we can handle. It's coming. His crucifixion on the cross, that was, his birth was a great thing. Crucifixion on the cross, that is a terrible thing. But good came out of both. If Christ hasn't been crucified and arose from the grave the third day, was resurrected, which would be the right thing to say. Man, I'm stumbling over my words tonight. Excuse me. Because of his resurrection, we have a great hope. And my hope is that I'll stay the course. My hope is for myself that I can endure to the end, that my faith and my hope will be there through all the trials of whatever the rest of my life might be, which is shorter now than it was. And if I lose that, if I lose sight of that, I don't know what will happen to me. Because I know what kind of flesh I am when I don't keep my eye focused on Jesus Christ and keep my hope where it ought to be. I know I can be a vile individual, or could, or was at times. And I have to watch it that the old man doesn't creep back up. I love my wife dearly, but she can testify how nasty I can be. Which is not a good thing. But Christ made me a different person. I am not the Mark that some people used to know. And at times I have told people that I am not who you thought I was. But if they don't see it in my actions, what good is my speech? But the Jews didn't think that Christ could be their Messiah. He was killed. He was put on a cross and crucified, and they did it. But the resurrection, it broke the bands of death, and it gives each and every one of us that hope that it talks about in the Scriptures of life eternal. And that is something that I can't even imagine what it's going to be like in heaven. You know, there's this joke that I've heard that this rich man wanted to bring his wealth with him. And so he threw a roundabout way anyway. That's a joke. God said, yeah, you can go ahead and take it. He got up to the pearly gates and he said, why do you want to bring pavement? He tried to take his gold with him. The streets are going to be paved with gold, it says. And that's the gist of the silly joke. You know, why would you want to bring pavement? Why do I want to even think about the worldly things that I might have that I might want to try to take with me, because I came into this world with nothing, and as it says, and I will take nothing out of it with me except my hope and my focus and my faith in Jesus Christ. Mosiah 8, page 251. Mosiah 8, and it, I'll start at verse 28. This is Abinadi speaking into... He had a great faith in the Lord, even though he hadn't seen him. He hadn't come to earth yet. And now Benadi saith unto them, I would that ye should understand that God himself shall come down among the children of men and shall redeem his people. And because he dwelleth in the flesh, he shall be called the Son of God. And having subjected the flesh to the will of the Father, being the Father and the Father because he was conceived by the power of God, and the Son because of the flesh, thus becoming the Father and Son. And they are one God, yea, the very eternal Father of heaven and earth. And thus the flesh, becoming subject to the Spirit, or the Son to the Father, being one God, suffereth temptation and yieldeth not to the temptation, but suffereth himself to be mocked and scourged and cast out and disowned by his people. And after all this, and after working many mighty miracles among the children of men, he shall be led, yea, even as Isaiah said, as a sheep before the shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Yea, even so he shall be led, crucified, and slain, the flesh becoming subject unto death, the will of the Son being swallowed up in the will of the Father, and thus God breaketh the bands of death. Having gained the victory over death, giving the Son power to make intercession for the children of men, having ascended into heaven, having the bowels of mercy, being filled with compassion towards the children of men, standing betwixt them and justice, having broken the bands of death, taking upon himself their iniquity and their transgressions, having redeemed them and satisfied the demands of justice. Because the demands of justice, because of the fall of Adam, we should be cast into hell, each and every one of us. That's the justice I feel like he's talking about here. The justice that's demanded of the way we are in the flesh. But because Christ broke the bands of death, mercy comes upon us if we take upon him our name. And the mercy is that somebody else paid the price for us. The price that we could never pay because we're spotted and we're blemished. And Christ paid it. And that's why I read this part of it, because that helps me to understand that God the Father and the Son Jesus Christ are one because of the Spirit and the flesh. And when he came down, why would he want to leave a place that everything is great and perfect? Because he created this He wants us to be with him. He wants fellowship with us. He wants a relationship with us. He doesn't want us just to know that he's there. There are people I know who they are, but I don't have a relationship with them. A good relationship. He wants a relationship with his creation, us. And a relationship has to be fostered and worked on. So you can become closer. Isn't that what you do when your husband and wife, as you work on that relationship? And as you work on it and you go through good and bad times, you get closer. That's what he wants. He doesn't just want us to, he doesn't want me just to get up here and quote scripture to you. Well, he does, but how do I explain this? But he wants a relationship with me so that I can bring forth, hopefully, the true things that he wants to come out of my mouth for him. The good things that it's not Mark speaking. Yeah, you're hearing my voice. But I hope that I'm in tune enough and I work on that relationship enough that I know what he wants from me when he gives it to me. That I can bring it forth for his name's honor and glory and for your edification and mine. And if I don't do that, kick me out. But that's what that relationship needs to be. And sometimes I feel like I've let mine go somewhat, that I haven't tried to keep things in tune with the relationship that he wants from me. Everything that happens to us that Christ or that God lets happen or does is because he loves us, believe it or not. I had to have a young lady whom I respect that many years younger than me help me out understanding that love that he has. He's not somebody that says, thou shalt not, and then poof, bolt of lightning comes down if we don't do it. That's not, the rules that he has for us are for our good because he loves us. The rules you have for your children are for their good because you love them. They have to have boundaries. We have to have boundaries. Because we're loved by the person that created us. And it took me a while to understand why the bad things happen because he loves us. But he wants me to be better. He wants me to grow. And sometimes I have to have my feet held to the fire for me to understand and to grow spiritually. I have another sermon that just popped into my head, but you're not going to get it tonight. So coming next year, I don't know about you all, I'm going to work on that relationship that he wants from me. And I want it from him. Because he's always there. He's always there for me. Sometimes I don't feel it, but he is. He's there. He's one of those friends that no matter what happens, he's going to be there. Because he's a true friend. And he's an honest friend. And he'll never lie to you. And he'll tell you when you're messing up. And he'll tell you when you're doing good. And we need it. It's a special relationship. I have a very special relationship with my wife that you all don't have with her. And I love it. And she tells me when I need to straighten up. And I need it. And that's what I need from God also. I'm not trying to counsel him, believe me, because I have been riding in my truck pondering upon things that I have lied to some people about at one time, and before he was done with me on that ride, I was crying and I wanted my mom. But I needed it. I needed that spanking that I got, per se, because, man, I screwed up royal. I messed up royal. And I had to go back to each and every one of those people and tell them what I had done. I lied to them. I flat out lied to them when they asked me something. And they trusted me, and they believed me. And I think that's what hurt most, is because I love those people. That's the relationship I want with Christ. Okay. We're going to wind this up before I go off on another tangent. Mosiah, page 216. This is Christ's life, and not so many words. Mosiah 1, verse 97 is what I'll start with. King Benjamin says, "For behold, the time cometh, and is not far distant, that with power the Lord Omnipotent, who reigneth, which was and is from all eternity to all eternity, shall come down from heaven among the children of men, and shall dwell in a tabernacle of clay." He's going to come down, and he's going to take on flesh, and he's going to become the Son. "And shall go forth amongst men, working many mighty miracles, such as healing the sick, raising the dead, causing the lame to walk, the blind to receive their sight, and the deaf to hear, and curing all manner of diseases. And he shall be cast..." Wait a minute. "And he shall cast out devils, or the evil spirits which dwelleth in the hearts of the children of men. And lo, he shall suffer temptations, and pain of body, hunger, thirst, fatigue, even more than man can suffer, except it be unto death. For behold, blood cometh from every pore, so great shall be his anguish for the wickedness and the abominations of his people. And he shall be called Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Father of heaven and earth, the Creator of all things from the beginning. And his mother shall be called Mary. And lo, he cometh unto his own, that salvation might come unto the children of men, even through faith on his name. And even after all this," even after they saw all these miracles that he did, "they shall consider him as a man, and say that he hath a devil, and shall scourge him, and shall crucify him. And he shall rise the third day from the dead, and behold, he standeth to judge the world." I'm going to skip to verse 116. "And moreover, I say unto you, that there shall be no other name given, nor any other way, nor means whereby salvation can come unto the children of men, only in and through the name of Christ, the Lord Omnipotent." And in the 14th chapter of John, part of verse 6 says that Jesus says that no man cometh to the Father but by me. I don't care what you hear out there, there's no other way to Christ, there's no other way to God except through Jesus Christ. I watched this show many, many years ago, and it just boggled my mind that somebody would think that all the religions are like the spokes of a wheel, and they all go to the center, which is God. I said, I said a word that I shouldn't say from up here, because that's not so. There's only one way, and that's what I said right then and there. I said, no, Jesus Christ is the only way. But Satan works... Satan's good at what he does, believe me. And he puts these thoughts into people's heads that just like that. All the spokes of a wheel, they're all different religions, and they all head towards the same place. No, they don't. But looking for the new year, looking forward to the future. And I know there's going to be ups and downs for me and for each and every one of us, because that's life. I'm going to work on building that relationship that I need. I need it to Jesus Christ. to keep my focus on Jesus Christ. I'm a photographer, so I like to relate this focus thing to focusing a lens. If you don't have your focus on the right thing, everything's blurry out there. If you try to take a picture through some bushes and the thing you want to is on the other side of them bushes and you use autofocus, what you want in focus isn't going to be in focus. Those bushes are. All the clutter in front of it is. So you have to click off that autofocus and you have to manually focus on what it is that you want your focus, that focus of your pictures to be. And the focus that we should have is Jesus Christ. Even with all the clutter that's out there in the world in front of him, focus on Jesus Christ, because then you're looking through all that clutter to the thing that you need to focus on. And you're working on that relationship. And if any of you see me slip, I want to know about it. Believe me, it won't hurt my feelings any. I might feel bad because I might have done what I've done. But I need everybody to hold me accountable, because I want to make it to heaven. I don't want to fall far enough that I don't endure. I used to be a distance runner, and believe me, that is enduring when you are running a distance, because it's not just 50, 60 yards, 100 yards and quit. And I enjoyed it. And I had to, you have to pace yourself. Life isn't a sprint. It's a long distance run, and you have to keep going. And you have to keep your focus on the finish line, which is heaven for me. And I don't care if I'm first. I just want to make it. I don't want to just make it. But I want to get to heaven. And I need your all's help to help me do it. I know I need Lana's help, my wife. That's why she was given to me as a helpmate. So I'm hoping that things look up for me. I'm hoping that if things haven't went well for you, that things will look up for you. I want to work on my attitude of gratitude so that I am not a grouchy old man in front of people. I don't want to be a grumpy old man. So I'm going to try to smile more. I have a tendency to frown when I focus. That's all right. I get told sometimes, why are you frowning? Well, I didn't know I was. Must be because I'm focusing and trying to understand something. But I'm going to smile more. And I'm going to try to be a person that people can see that I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what I want people to see in me. I don't want them to see, boy, he grumbles every morning. I don't want to be around him. When he comes into work, I need to get out of there. I don't want that. And I think sometimes that's what people might think, because I don't see things their way anymore. But help me to work on that relationship with Jesus Christ. Help me not to miss the mark. Help me not to look at things that aren't right. Help me to look at things as they are, not as my mind thinks they should be. And I hope that comes out. And if it doesn't, later on down the road, remember this sermon that Mark gave it and say, Mark, I'm not seeing Christ in your countenance. I should ask that of people I work with, because they're the ones that see me day in and day out. Maybe I will. I should. Because I meet a lot of people during the day. And when I show up, they're not having a good day because they're having problems with their internet or their phone. I try to tell people when I leave their house, boy, I really enjoy visiting with you, but if you see me, you got a problem. Thanks for listening to me ramble on. Like I said, I have nothing new. But it was something that was given to me that I thought, boy, is this it? This is a pretty simple sermon. And he says, yes. Okay. So thank you for listening. I don't have a good way to close this. Except let's work on our relationships with each other. And let's work on our relationships, especially with Jesus Christ. Thank you.